Paul, continuing his discourse to the churches of Galatia, he says, "Then, after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. And it was because of a revelation that I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for I fear that I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. But from those who were of high reputation, what they are or what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we might go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They only asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I also was eager to do." You may be seated. As we've looked through the first chapter of Galatians, the first chapter of Galatians, Paul is establishing his independence. His independence. He is, number one, dependent upon God and independent upon any other man or agency of man for his calling and his work or for his gospel, either one. He says that he's an apostle not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ. His gospel came not according to man, nor did he receive it from man, but it was taught to him through a revelation of Jesus Christ. That is establishing Paul's independence from anyone else and his dependency on God. After 14 years, now that may be 14, after 14 years from his salvation experience on the road to Damascus, or it may be after 14 years from his visit to Damascus and Jerusalem, which was 3 years after that. So it could be anywhere between after, it could be either 14 years or 17 years after the fact. Paul gives the history of him going to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus with him, and going to the apostles and communicating with them the gospel that he had been preaching for 14 years at least, maybe 17 years, had been preaching to the Gentiles. And he was submitting that to them at that time. And in the process of that, he gives a little story, a little parenthetical statement about the fact that there were those who were in this meeting and in the church who were spies, who were there trying to destroy the freedom, the liberty that they had in Jesus Christ, trying to rob them of that liberty and put them under bondage again, or back into bondage again, unto themselves, unto the people who were spies, so that they could have authority over them. Paul says that whenever we observed that they were there, we didn't give way to them. We didn't give an ounce of concession to them. We didn't even give them the time of day. We just ignored them. And he said, the reason we did that is not for our own benefit. The reason we did that is so that the truth of the gospel would continue on to those who were experiencing the liberty of the gospel. You know, there are times in our lives when God's called us to a ministry, and in that ministry, we don't do things on the basis of what it does for us. We do things on the basis of the fact that it's the truth of the gospel and that it will produce freedom in people. And we do that on the basis of that freedom. We serve sometimes on the basis of what it will do for other people totally, not for what it does for us. Sometimes there's times that we come to Christ and He calls us to do something, and our response is not, what's in it for me? Our response is, what is it going to do for other people? That is our response. And as He gave that parenthetical statement, He comes back to the reality and He says, we went and submitted to them. We communicated with those people, those apostles in Jerusalem, what our gospel was, the gospel that we had been preaching and are preaching unto the Gentiles. And those of high reputation, speaking earthly, because He says, speaking heavenly, it doesn't really matter what you call them. God doesn't see reputation. God doesn't see what we see. He says, now speaking earthly, speaking humanly, we have to look at the fact that there were those who were James. He lists James, Peter, and he lists John. He lists. He says that they were the pillars of the church at Jerusalem, the mother church. They were the pillars. They were the support. They were the ones that were of reputation. God, He says, sees no difference between people. Can we remember that? Can we remember that, earthly speaking, yes, we may distinguish between leadership and fellowship. But reality is, in heaven, God does not distinguish between people in the area of reputation. And He says these observed and saw the reality of what had been entrusted to them, to preach to the Gentiles, that it was the very energy of God in their life, that they had been serving Him and communicated their understanding of that grace involved in their life with a right hand of fellowship, a shaking of a hand that was an agreement, was a truthful, honest agreement of sincerity, of unity, of working together. And He says the only thing that they said was, let's make sure that we all remember the poor, because God has always had a heart for the poor, from the Old Testament through the New Testament. In that, let me show you, I believe, what this passage of Scripture teaches about the difference between submission and subjection. Submission and subjection. I take those words as we read them from verse 2, where Paul says, I went to them and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. And he says in verse 5, we did not yield in subjection to them, not even for a moment. So I want to take and talk about three things that I believe are principles that we don't really look at very much. I haven't. Principles that I believe have been lost in many cases in the church. Principles that will make a difference in every area of our life if we understand them. It'll make a difference in our relationship as a church with believers in Christ. It'll make a difference in our relationship with husband and wife. It'll make a difference in our relationship with business partners. It'll make a difference in a relationship with anyone that you have in an intimate relationship with in the process of accountability. And that is submission versus subjection. The choice is yours. First off, I want us to see that submission, and this will be like a comparison contrast, submission is communication with a view to consultation. Submission is communication with a view to consultation. Subjection is communication with a view to obedience. Submission in the Greek language means that I am willing to place myself underneath. In this area, it's an understanding of that I am communicating, that I am placing before someone, not for their approval or disapproval, but I am communicating with them for affirmation, and that I am communicating with them for information. Subjection, on the other hand, is an understanding of communication with the understanding toward obedience. When someone is the subject of another person, they are the slave of that other person. Their job is obedience. Submission is, in order for there to be submission in this understanding of consultation, there must first be on the person's understanding of one's own gifts and calling. You see, a submission has done in this way is that I understand, as Paul would have understood completely here when he said, I came submitting them to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. There was no way in the language presented that Paul was going to the church at Jerusalem after proclaiming the message of law-free salvation and grace unto God. There's no way that after at least 14 years of preaching that, he was going to the church at Jerusalem and presenting this gospel to the church at Jerusalem, to the apostles, for their approval. He wasn't doing it for their approval. Do you think in your mind, I don't believe in my mind in a moment, that if Peter would have said, oh, well, Paul, we don't agree with that message. We believe that the Gentiles have to be circumcised in order to be saved. I can't walk around, or that's what happens. I have to nail my shoes to the floor and then get in them up here. He says that in this, Paul, if Peter would have said to Paul, oh, Paul, you have to go around preaching that the Gentiles have to be circumcised. Do you in a moment think that Paul would have gone and changed his message? For the last 14 years at least, maybe 17 years, he's been preaching a grace-based salvation in relationship with God. And do you think that he would have in a moment changed his message back to a law-based salvation and relationship with God if the apostles would have said no? We don't agree with your message. I don't believe that he would have in a moment. The reason being is because true submission, as Paul presents it, is when an individual understands his own personal gifts and calling. And when he understands that, he's not asking something. You see, subjection is when an individual communicates for obedience. Subjection is the need to get permission from someone. See, he's not subjecting himself to the apostles. He's not going to the apostles in Jerusalem and saying, I need your permission to continue to go about preaching this gospel that I've been preaching to the Gentiles. He's not doing that. He's communicating in a view of consultation. He is consulting with them. He's been preaching this gospel for 14 years, and he has never one time sat down with the body of apostles and communicated to them the truth of the grace-based salvation and relationship with God. Not once has he done it in 14 years. Now he's doing it, and it's not for permission, because he already understands his gifts and his calling are set from God. He has already established his independence. Now he is establishing his interdependence on people. You see, no one in the Christian faith is a lone ranger. We are all independent. We all are dependent upon God and God alone, and we are independent upon one another. We don't have to seek permission about our gifts and our callings from each other. That is our obedience unto God. But we are all interdependent, in need of consultation, of affirmation, of information. So Paul understood this. Submission, in order for there to be a consultation, must be an acceptance of responsibility for one's own spiritual life. See, again, Paul wasn't going for the purpose that they might impart to him something that he didn't already know. In fact, he says later on, and he's not saying it in a sense of derogatory, that hey, not even those guys added anything to my message. When he says in verse 6 that they contributed nothing to me. What he's saying is, I didn't go in my submission to them. I didn't go asking them to teach me something. I went telling them what I'm doing and seeking for simply an affirmation to the information that I'm giving, not permission for what I'm doing. Because subjection is that there's a fear for me to move forward in doing something unless I receive direction to do it. Subjection is whenever I feel fearful about doing something, so I have to ask for direction about doing something instead of just seeking the Father and saying, my calling, my gifts, my desires, my responsibility unto Him and my spiritual growth. Now let me just show you one area in which I think this might be a benefit. For instance, in an area of working together with a co-worker, there can be a relationship of submission to one another, or there can be a relationship of subjection to one another, one to the other. Submission to one another would be that I understand my calling and my giftedness and my abilities and my talents and my job, but I also understand yours. And though your job is independent from my job as a co-laborer together, I do understand that we are interdependent on this relationship, and that as well as I do my job and you do your job, they will harmonize together and benefit one another. But see, if I'm subjected to that person as a co-laborer, then I go to that person always seeking permission to do something. That is already my job, because I'm not taking responsibility for what's already mine. And so I go to somebody and seek permission. Well, do you think that I need to file this? Well, is that your job to file this? Well, file it. You know? Now, some person would like that, always come to me and ask me. Even though we're co-laborers, always come to me and ask me. See, if I'm always seeking permission, the reason I'm doing that is because I'm not willing to accept the responsibility of my own actions, so that when I do something and it's wrong, I can always go back and blame somebody else. Paul understood this. You see, he wasn't going to the apostles in Jerusalem and saying, oh, let me tell you about the grace message that I've been preaching to the Gentiles. I sure hope y'all think it's okay. I mean, if y'all don't, I have to go back 14 years and make everything right. I don't know who I'll blame, because I didn't ask anybody before. I just took the responsibility of what God had showed me in the Arabian desert, and I went and preached the gospel to the Gentiles because that was my calling, that was my responsibility, that's what I've done. That's what Paul went to Jerusalem for. He understood his independence, but he also understood his interdependence, because he understood that if these two classes of people, if the mother church in the Jewish people who had become believers did not adopt the grace message to the Gentiles, then it would be detrimental to the harmony of the local church. Now, can you imagine the Jewish people? Here's a Jewish congregation that has come to faith in Christ. And this congregation is meeting together. Do you know what? I doubt that the word circumcision was ever talked about. You know why? No need. They all were Jews. No need to talk about circumcision. So when Paul comes to the Gentiles, or to the apostles, and he says, here's the message I've been preaching to the Gentiles. I'm not seeking your permission. I'm telling you for information and affirmation that the gospel I've been preaching to the Gentiles does not in any way rest upon whether someone's been circumcised or not. And I can just imagine that James, who is this James that's mentioned here, is the brother of Jesus, not the James the Apostle, in the Gospels, because he has already been put to death, already martyred. This James is the brother of Jesus. And I can imagine James and Peter and John scratching their head and saying, the message that we've been preaching to the Jews, we don't mention circumcision either. It's not necessary. So Paul's saying, I'm not submitting my message to you for approval. I'm not subjecting myself to you. I'm submitting to you. I am communicating to you in the area of consultation. The second thing about submission, contrast of submission and subjection, is that submission is a two-way street. Subjection is a one-way street. Submission, being a two-way street, is a relationship built upon equality. That is, that I perceive the energizing work of God in another person as well as in me. That's equality. That's what Peter and the apostles realized about Paul. It says in verse 8, they realized this, seeing that I had been entrusted, in verse 7, with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. He who energized Peter in his apostleship energized me also to the Gentiles. And as submission being a two-way street, it is a relationship built upon equality. Perception that what I see in you and what you see in me is an equalness of the energy of God working in our lives. That is an equality basis of submission. It also is a relationship built upon mutual submission. Mutual submission is a giving and a taking based upon the building of that relationship. Mutual submission is what's faced out here. Is faced here. That they recognized the grace that had been given to me. That's what Paul said. When they heard my gospel, they saw me. They realized what I'd been doing for 14 years. They recognized within me the grace of God, the giftedness and empowerment of God that had been given to me unto the Gentiles. And they acknowledged it in mutuality with a right hand of fellowship. And that was a bond of trust between two people. Submission, equality, and mutual. Subjection, on the other hand, is a relationship built upon superiority. Subjection is a perception that the working of God is greater in one person than in another. You see, those false brethren who had snuck in, who had been somehow infiltrated the church to spy out the liberty which the church has in Christ Jesus, they did it in order to bring us into bondage to themselves, because they saw themselves as being superior. Subjection, being a one-way street, is always there's one person that God is working in greater than anybody else. You know, this is true in a lot of places. I mean, I can remember the first church I pastored. There was a man there who was 60 years old. He was close to at least 60. He was close to retirement. He was a principal of a 5A high school in Texas. And he honestly believed. Now, I'm telling you the truth because I argued with him on numerous occasions trying to change his belief system. But he honestly believed that because God had called me to be a pastor, that I was closer to God than he could ever be. This guy's a highly intelligent man. This guy had been through university after university. He had a doctorate degree. And in his and had been raised in church all of his life, by the way. And in his concept of understanding, he was subjecting himself to me because I was closer to God. Superior in my relationship to God. Have you ever looked at people like that? I have. There's been people in my life that I've almost made idols out of. I've looked at them and I said, oh man, boy, Lord, I just want to be like them whenever I get spiritually mature. I really just, boy, Lord, that's who I want to look like whenever I'm really walking with you. I mean, I can't imagine. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just really looked at somebody and said, that is my idol of spiritual life? And then to come to find out, after you've idolized this person for a while, you come to find out that they got feet of clay. I mean, they do something real stupid, you know. They fall off the wagon. They do something that is really ignorant in relationship to Christ, and it just shatters you. And the reason is because you have subjected yourself. You've chosen to see them as superior and yourself as inferior. Now, there's systems like this also in subjection, and that's what these spies were. It was a system that saw a superior and an inferior relationship. In fact, the subjection is always a relationship built upon authoritarianism. And authoritarianism is that giving and taking is not based upon the building of a relationship. Giving and taking is based upon position. It's based upon position. Now, I've served under men who were pastors who expected me as an associate of theirs, or expected the congregation as a flock of theirs, to submit to them, subject themselves to them based upon their position. Why should we do that? Because I'm the pastor. If you question somebody, they say, because I'm the pastor. Or because I'm the boss. You see, that's a subjection mentality. Now, there are times whenever someone who is in charge makes some decisions and you go with them. But if they're questioned, the submission relationship is there's a giving and a taking because of the building of this relationship. In subjection, there is a giving and a taking built upon position. I give because my position is superior. You take because your position is inferior. See, that's exactly what the spies were trying to do to the apostles and to Paul. They were trying to make their position superior and everybody else's inferior. They were saying the Jews are superior. Circumcision is superior. The Gentiles, in order to become equal with us because they're inferior, must become circumcised. And then they're really not equal with us because they're still Gentiles, they're just circumcised Gentiles. You see the difference. And let me show you just briefly why I think that this would make a difference in people's lives. Take, for instance, a marriage relationship. A marriage relationship that is built upon submission is husband and wife's relationship is equal. They see each other as equality. In equality, they see each other as equal. That is that they perceive in one another the same effectual working of God based upon their relationship with God. They don't see one another, one being superior, one being inferior. They also see one another as in a mutual submission way. That is that there's a giving and a taking based upon the building of the relationship, not based upon the position that's there. For instance, subjection that's been taught in many Christian marriage seminars is that the man is superior, the wife is inferior. Man is the boss, the wife is not. Man has the final say-so, the wife does not. There's an authoritarian thing that there's a giving and a taking based upon position. If you hear a wife say, oh, I could never say that to my husband, I'm telling you that that person is in subjection, not submission. If you hear a husband say, I'll just do it, I'll just tell my wife that's what I'm going to do, and I'm not even going to talk to her about it, that's just what we're going to do, I'm telling you that guy's a fool. He's authoritarian, and he may achieve someone to live in subjection even for a lifetime, but it is not a biblical way of relating to one another in the Spirit of Christ. So there is a submission and a subjection as being a two-way street or a one-way street. Submission produces unity, and subjection demands uniformity. Submission produces in our differences, recognizes that there's grace difference in one of us, how we relate to God may be a little different, what we do may be a little different. It acknowledges a joint venture as being that we're supporting one another. Subjection demands uniformity. That means that I want you to look like me and talk like me and act like me and think like me. It destroys the liberalness that we have in Christ, the ability to be an individual in Jesus Christ. Subjection is a bondage to a system. That's exactly what the spies were trying to do. The spies were trying to undergird and subvert the message, the truth of the gospel, in order to bring people into bondage unto themselves so that they could feel superior because they couldn't relate to them on equal grounds. Have you ever met people and known people in your life that could never relate to anyone, it didn't seem, unless they were the teacher? Y'all remember the discipleship classes that used to go on in the 70s and the early 80s? They were called Billy Hinks one-on-one discipleship. There was a Paul-Timothy relationship, which becomes a subjected relationship because this Paul is supposed to be superior and Timothy is supposed to be the inferior. And there's an accountability process and all these things that take place. What it does is it produces a uniform that everybody wears that looks the same, so that our language begins to sound the same. And if you don't talk this certain spiritual language, then you're not spiritual. And our actions began to be all the same. And if you don't act this special certain way, then you're not spiritual. And our method of relating has to be the same. And if it's not this way, then you're not spiritual. The whole concept is that it is a subjection. There is a superior and there is an inferior. It just depends on where you are. The reason that the Billy Hinks discipleship, one-on-one discipleship system, didn't work over a long, long period of time is because pretty soon everybody wants to be a Paul. Nobody wants to be a Timothy. I mean, everybody wants to be a chief. Nobody wants to be an Indian. When submission becomes subjection, the joy of learning is lost. When people are under subjection, their focus is on passing. Their focus is on doing whatever it takes to get the test done and make the grade and make the teacher happy, and it doesn't really relate to life at all. But when people are mutually submitted to one another, and in our relationship, there is a focus upon learning and growing that in every aspect relates to life, in every aspect of life. And in our grace relationship with God, we have the privilege and the joy of being subjected to Him, meaning that He does expect obedience. But in our relationship, we also have the privilege and joy of being submitted to Him, meaning that He relates to us based upon a relationship, not a system. He relates to us based upon who we are and not what we do. And because of that, we can, as Paul, submit to one another in the body of Christ, serve together, work together, be married to one another, can live in a home and a family with husband, wife, children, can live in a relationship at work, and we can do it with the confidence of our relationship with God, not in a subjectiveness that is being put upon the people of God and the world today. And the reason is because Jesus Christ has set us free.
Amen.
And we have liberty in Him. And because Paul did not subject himself, but submitted himself, and the truth of the very good news of Jesus Christ is alive today with us. Father, thank you.